What's up, everybody? This is Tom McFarland, and this is episode 2 of Yet Another Blogging Podcast. If you've been listening since the first one, you'll notice that I've actually given this thing a name. It's nothing too creative, but I figure it's something to file it under. And whenever the entire series is done, I'll have a way to package it all up and brand it for you guys to download. So in the last episode, I talked briefly about what this particular series of podcasts is going to include, and I don't want to rehash it here. But the purpose of this specific episode is to answer some of the questions that I've received on how I go about collecting ideas and generating ideas for blog posts. Some of these questions have come via Twitter, some have come via comments on blog posts, and some have also come from email. If you recall in the last episode, I mentioned that you have to find your niche and you have to go narrow within it. And ideally, you're going to be writing what you're passionate about. This doesn't mean that it won't occasionally feel like a chore, but the idea is that it should minimize the work involved in committing to a blog. After all, the early days of blogging, the first few weeks, even up to the first few months can be tough, but it does pay off. And I think the thing to note is that at the beginning, most people don't have a hard time generating content. It's just the fact that people may not necessarily be engaging with your content. But after the first few months, after you start getting a comment, two comments, three comments, and begin having discussions on your blog, you then feel this implicit pressure to continue delivering content to your readers. And that's where the pressure begins to come. And so from the get-go, you should be able to minimize the amount of pressure and the feeling of having to do yet another thing. If you're getting into blogging, it should be something that you enjoy. It should be a way for you to write, express your ideas, connect with other people, discuss different things, maybe have your mind changed, maybe change other people's minds. And so with that said, there are different ways that I go about collecting ideas. And everyone has their own way of doing this. So what I'm saying is not what I'm saying you should do or that this will work for you. But perhaps it will provide some alternative ways of collecting ideas rather than stressing to find things to write about. And so before I go any further, I want to make a point that my number one strategy for generating content comes simply from deriving information from my opinions and my projects, and occasionally from things that I see just kind of out and about in quote-unquote the real world. And that's it. So I have a list of 6 things that I use to consistently generate content that works for me on a routine basis, so much so sometimes that I have to make sure that I figure out a way to write everything down so that I don't miss it. And I'm also going to be talking about that. But first, here are the things that I do, or here's the strategies that I have for consistently generating content. Number one, opinions. Now, opinions are arguably the easiest things to write about, simply because we've all got them. And the thing to make sure is that whatever you're writing about is focused. It's easy to have an opinion and then a rabbit trail off into a tangential opinion and so on. And when you do that, you end up having a post about nothing because it's not focused on one particular thing. And therefore, it makes it hard not only to write, but it makes it hard for people to chime in and to begin offering their comments. So if you opt to write an opinion piece, summarize the opinion in a single statement and then argue why you feel that way. On the flip side, prepare for some pushback. Opinion posts are often the best for generating discussion or flat-out negative comments, but they are some of the easiest to write. And if you're writing an opinion piece and you do get some pushback, be open-minded. Because they are opinions and because they are subjective, you may actually earn something from your community. Although the majority of you listening to this are developers of some sort, this is applicable to whatever you do for a living, even if your blog is about a hobby. Every single thing we do generates learning in some capacity. Smaller learnings will usually result in smaller blog posts, obviously, but you can easily break them down into what you've learned and one or two of the challenges in getting to that point. This also, if you have enough foresight, you'll also have your phone or maybe a camera with you, and then you can include pictures or videos or some other kind of media to put into the blog post to enhance the content. If it's a larger learning, then you can usually get several posts out of it and generate an entire series. And one problem that I see some bloggers do is they try to capture the entire project's worth of learning into a single post, and that is really difficult. You're writing exceptionally long posts, which take a lot of your time to write, and honestly, few people will actually read through that many words. Remember, people scan what they read on the web, so as a rule of thumb, I try to keep my articles around 600 to 700 words. Plus, if you have a number of different learnings, then you have the ability to generate multiple posts, whereas each learning is the subject of a given post. And that's a good thing, because now you have a backlog of content and that pressure to constantly deliver posts has been alleviated a little bit. Number 3, spin blogs, articles, tweets, status updates, etc. into a long-form blog post. All I'm trying to say is that whether or not you've read comments or blog posts or tweets or whatever on other people's sites, properties, or blogs, or even if you've had people comment on your own blogs, odds are you've generated an opinion or drawn conclusions based on what others have said and what others have argued, perhaps even amongst themselves. Maybe you're just passively reading. But whatever it is you've drawn or taken away from that, pay attention to it, because that's yet another place from which you can draw inspiration for blog posts. And rather than voice the entirety of your argument for or against something in a comment or on a status update or in a mention or a reply, formulate it into a longer form blog post and then share it on your blog. Because odds are, if other people have chimed in on someone else's property and commented on it, they're bound to do the same for you, so long as you're not ripping off their content. You know, inject your personal flair and your perspective. Number four, inspiration from things on the radio, in music, or on television. Now, this one's a bit of a stretch, and it doesn't happen often. However, it's not completely off the table, or it's not completely impossible either. There are parallels to what we see on the television or hear on the radio to what we see on the web or what we model in code. Case in point, over the Christmas break, I saw a commercial that was advertising a car, and the final screen of the commercial reminded me of a layout that I've begun to see used more and more often in web design, which in turn got me thinking if web design is beginning to influence stills and commercials, vice versa, or if it's just a design principle that works across different mediums. I don't know, but it provided a point of research for me to educate myself. Now that right there generates enough to write about for two or possibly three blog posts. Perhaps I could be writing about my opinions or my questions, or I could write about any of the research that I did on print or film or any of that kind of stuff. It really depends on what the focus of your blog is. And it doesn't necessarily matter if a group of other people know this stuff or not. Your audience may know it, and then they can contribute to the conversation and enhance your learning. And if others don't know anything about it, then they'll be learning from you and then be discussing with other people in the comments. So no matter how you look at it, there's going to be a level of engagement from the content that you've generated. Number five, experience from other languages, platforms, etc. And the last place that often provides a variety of inspiration is experience from other languages, platforms, applications, or whatever. Now, if you're not a programmer, I can't necessarily speak to this, but perhaps this would be experience from using some other type of hardware. Perhaps this would be from your experience in using some other type of vehicle, some other type of transportation. I don't know, some other type of seasoning in your food. But whatever it is, you can always draw experiences from other things that you've done in comparison or in contrast to what you're using right now. So posts can be in the form of comparisons, posts can be in the form of contrast, and there's things that you're gonna be glad to be away from, and there's things that you actually miss. Most of the things with which we work are neutral, so voicing our thoughts on them, either positive or negative, isn't inherently bad. But it's when we begin to slander other developers or other bloggers or other people, and I think that's dangerous territory. Perhaps that's topic for another podcast, but remember just to keep that whatever you're writing about a neutral subject matter and inject your opinion and your thoughts on it. Don't go after another person. Number six, borrow from other sites. So I've been asked about drawing inspiration from other sites such as Stack Overflow, which is a community for programmers. Now, personally, I don't do this, and it's simply because these sites normally include issues that have already been covered and or solved. An analogy would be a cooking site. Let's say that you find a recipe for someone's dish on their website, and then on your site, you want to blog the same recipe. It wouldn't bode well for internet courtesy for you simply to copy and plagiarize someone else's recipe. Instead, perhaps a better form of the post would be to try the recipe and give your thoughts on it. Try the recipe and remix it with your own flair, but then give credit to the original recipe. If you treat blogging as a open source effort or as a collective effort, then it's okay to give props to other people. No one's going to, don't think of it as stealing traffic or trying to steal traffic from anyone. You know, consider it as being all in it together and you're just sharing knowledge with other people. The other thing is that when it comes to sites, drawing inspiration from sites like Stack Overflow, they're question and answer sites. And so they're way more objective. And that is, there's a question and there's an answer, and an answer is generally voted to be the correct answer. And as such, I don't want to put something on the internet that's already been answered, especially if it's objective. I'd rather be contributing my own subjective content rather than objective duplicate content. Ultimately, my goal is to put stuff on the internet that is more in line with what I'm interested in, what I'm currently working through, and what I'm interested in what you're doing. I'm not interested in just providing factual information. unless it's in the context of helping someone along that may be overcoming a challenge that I just overcame. So, I've also been asked about how I keep track of various ideas for project, and the truth is I don't have a single consistent application or system that I can share with you. Instead, I use a variety of things. So there's 3 points that I can mention here. One, the number one thing that I use to track notes or ideas for inspiration is my phone, primarily because it's what's with me all the time. Sometimes I'll record a voice note, I'll send a text to myself or an email to myself. I'll drop some bullet points in an application like Evernote, although this can be a bit heavy depending on how much time you have to spare. But the point is to make sure that I get the gist of what I eventually want to write about. If I can summarize what I want to discuss, then I can build and craft a post around that single sentence or that set of bullet points. Secondly, I don't do full-fledged posts on my phone. Sometimes it's a single sentence. Sometimes, like I said, it's 3 points. Whatever it is, I try to make sure that it's succinct and direct as possible. Basically, I try to get the point down. Think of this as writing a thesis for a blog post. You can easily expound upon the bottom line later, but it's critical that you capture the core idea or the particular issue. And so, number three, with that said, use whatever works for you. Use note cards, use a notebook, use your hand, use your phone, use your photographic memory, use voicemails, tell your wife, tape a sticky note to your desk. I don't know, but remember, the point is generating ideas, not how you capture your ideas. So as long as you can get them, and then as long as you can get them into the computer, you're gold. So with that said, that's how I come up with inspiration for my blog post. And what I found is that writing is a lot like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. And this doesn't mean that blogging necessarily gets easier. It just means that the way of generating ideas gets easier and that your rhythm and then your flow can make for a more consistent blog, primarily because you're generating a backlog of things to discuss. Of course, all of this is contingent upon finding a schedule that works for you, that allows you to write. And to be honest, this looks different for everyone. We all have different work schedules. We all have different family lives. We all have different careers and so on. And so in the next podcast, I'll be talking exactly about scheduling time for your blog. But until then, here's several points that I've given you, strategies for keeping track in the notes, and I hope that it is helpful in you going to refine your blog. So have a good afternoon, have a good evening, have a good middle of the night, have a good time rocking your baby back to sleep, have a good time listening to this on your morning run. I don't know, wherever you're listening to it, I hope it's been useful, I hope it's awesome, and I'll have the next podcast out as soon as possible.